Thanks for downloading the show. This is Garden Fork Radio. It's me, Eric, with my friends talking about kind of eclectic DIY. We talk about stuff we like, and it's usually cool stuff. And today, my friend Will from the Weekend Homestead YouTube channel is here. Hey, man.
Hey, how are you doing today?
I'm good. You are on fiber optic internet in the middle of nowhere.
Yes, it's going to be very fast and very clean. Not sure if the content's going to be any better than normal, but I know it'll at least be fast.
Two guys talking about stuff.
Oh, boy. I'm actually excited about something you posted on your Facebook the other day, that Troy built Zero Turn that you were driving around. So I got to hear about that. That's pretty cool stuff.
So full disclosure, everyone, Troy Built sponsors Garden Fork. Every year I do some project with them. But I would not be working with them unless I liked their products and I liked the people. Every week somebody wants me to be a brand influencer with them, and I say no to almost all of them. It's amazing some of the direct people want you to, like, hey, you could, and I'm like, no. But anyway, yeah, I just went to Cleveland and met up with the Troy Built team for 3 days, and it was a really good trip. Some of these social media brand meeting things are just painful, and this is just a great group of people. The Aaron and Aya from the Marcus Thomas marketing, are they a marketing agency? There's this, the ad agency, I guess what they're called. They did a great job putting the trip together. There, I could not do their job. I would have a panic attack in the first 10 minutes, you know. And then Barb and the crew from Troy Built were amazing as well. And there were six bloggers there, five women and me.
Wow.
Yeah, I felt kind of out of the loop there, you know.
I do have to ask you, you know, you posted that video, and it looked like you were on a giant football field of perfectly manicured lawn. Where were you exactly?
I think it's Strongsville, Ohio. MTD, which owns Troy Built, has a giant campus out there. It's beautiful. It's like a university campus, you know? And they have different sections of grass to test all their outdoor power equipment on. And so we're just driving down this road, and you can see the different kinds of grass, you know, the thick-bladed grasses like fescues. I think fescues are the thick ones. Yep. Thin-bladed grass, drought-tolerant like zoysias and stuff. And it's this, I guess it's kind of like those satellite images where you look at kind of farmland and all the fields look different. It was like that, but these giant patches of grass, and they brought out all this equipment, and they let us drive them around.
That makes sense. I mean, I'm guessing they have probably a course to test out the weed eaters, and they have somebody bring in a bunch of leaves to test out the leaf blower and all that stuff. So having a big field of grass to test out lawnmowers makes sense.
What they also brought us to was their testing facility, and I'll link to the video, but they just made a really cool Facebook and YouTube video about their testing facility, and they beat the heck out of their machines before they sell them. And we got a tour of the place. Some of the stuff I couldn't take pictures of, but they have a room that goes down to like Arctic or Antarctic temperatures and wind and stuff. It's like this weather chamber, and there is a lawnmower starting up and shutting off, starting up and shutting off in this, like, looks like a meat cooler, but much colder, you know? And then they had a shake table, which looked like something to make you really seasick, you know, and they're just shaking the heck out of a tractor, you know, like a lawn tractor, you know. And then they have this other room where you walk in, and there's this, looks like a 1-inch steel rod sticking up out of the floor, and they push that down, and it's spring actuated, and they have a little lever, and they run a lawnmower over that with the blade spinning, and then they pull the lever, and that pin shoots up, and the lawnmower blade catches it, and they study what happens to the blade. And there are, I don't know if the regulations or guidelines about that blade should not shrapnel out and hurt anybody, and whether the blade will shred and save the crankshaft shaft. is very interesting. They don't just make stuff and throw it out on the sales floor. They test it. I was really impressed by it. They have a sound room because they want the machines to be as quiet as they can, yet giving a good performance, you know? So you feel like maybe this is where the Beatles played in this room, and it has all those kind of triangular wall on the wall is not flat. It's all kind of in these triangles. It looks like a, I don't know if you've ever been in a sound studio, one of those super quiet ones. There's a bunch of microphones hanging down, and I was pretty impressed with all that. And I would love to work there.
Did they have the floor where the floor is like elevated a foot off the ground, and then you're standing kind of on like a mesh because the triangles are underneath it also, or was it like a flat floor?
It's well, in what part?
Well, in the sound room.
Oh, I don't remember.
I remember when I was working with an audio company, they had one of those sound rooms, and it was elevated off the floor when you'd walk in. And like they closed the door, and I'll be honest with you, I actually felt kind of ill in there because it felt like you were in a chamber, like a pressure chamber, because you would say something and your voice would just disappear into the walls.
Yes, it was like that.
Yeah, it was very weird. It felt like you were in a vacuum almost, but you're not. You're just in a room that doesn't have any, you know, sound reflection at all.
I imagine that's what space sounds like.
Yeah, definitely.
And my ears ring. I have that tinnitus thing, so I could hear my ears. And I'm like, I don't. That's why I like white noise. I just need background noise all the time because otherwise.
Yep,
so it was a good trip. I'm going to go on a little bit of I get a lot of comments when I have a Troy Belt video, and it's always somebody going, Troy Belt, this is my voice of the mean commenter, Troy Belt, they're just junk now that MTD bought them. And we actually went to the MTD, I don't know, it's a museum, but they have a floor where they collected all the equipment that MTD and Troy Belt and Cub Cadet have made. And they've restored a bunch of it. And MTD started out like Troy Belt did. MTD is Modern Tool and Die Company. And Troy Belt started out as a tool and die company, I believe, as well. Troy Belt ran into some financial troubles, and they were kind of companies on similar trajectories. So MTD bought Troy Belt. And I think they're still making good products. But they are a family-owned company. Almost everyone there lives like 10 miles from MTD and then got a job at MTV and promoted from within. They're just the nicest people. They clearly like where they work. I mean, a lot of corporations, I don't know if you've done this, but everyone is more kind of like covering their butt, you know, and there was none of that there. And I don't know, it was just kind of neat to go through this museum and see the first electric lawnmower and these real boxy lawn garden tractors from like the 1970s, you know, that just because kind of the styles were amazing. And they made bicycles. I mean, who thought of that, you know?
Troy Belt made bicycles or MTD did?
MTD did. And also yes. MTD, they pioneered some safety procedures. They were making oil pans for trucks, I believe. And the presses, you know, it was this giant machine and you'd have to put the piece of metal in and then the stamper would come down with the die to press it into shape. Well, these guys, the family, the guy's name is Emil, one of them, they put ropes around the wrists of their workers and they built this rig behind them such that when the stamp came down, it would pull their wrists away from the machine with ropes.
Interesting. So it's like the first, long before OSHA, they were, you know, looking at taking care of their employees.
Yeah.
Neat.
Yeah, it was pretty good. So I was like, wow. But they're, the other problem is, I think people are like, well, they make cheap products now. And you can probably speak to this as well, with having your experience, but people want American-made products at Walmart prices, and it doesn't work.
You know, that's the one thing that a lot of people look at when they look at different products and things like that. You know, you have to look at when you have a cheap lawnmower next to an expensive lawnmower, they really look the same. In all reality, they both cut the grass the same. But where you see your differences are, like, are they using 14-gauge metal versus 18, or are they, you know, reinforcing the blade somehow, or you know, those, all those little things, or putting a clutch in so that then if like that rod comes up and hits the blade, does it spin to the clutch so it doesn't shear and destroy your lawnmower? So if on accident you hit a stump while you're mowing your lawn or a rock, you don't wreck your lawnmower, and instead you just have to replace a $3 part instead of a $300 lawnmower. So, I mean, that those are the things that people really don't see when you start looking at the prices of lawnmowers. And I know MTD and Troy Built, you know, I don't get paid by those guys to say anything, but I know that they, if I've looked at their products in the past, they've always used a little bit higher grade steel or a little bit, you know, better bolts, or instead of using a 3/8 bolt, they use a 1/2 inch or something like that. You know, little things like that that make a difference in the quality of the product.
Yeah, like you're going to use a grade 8 bolt instead of a grade 5, you know, that kind of thing. The bolt, grade 8 bolts just cost more. So.
Yep.
But what really cool, what was funny was I got to ride this zero turn mower, and I actually have a fairly small yard, but I would really love one of these things. And the video I put on Instagram is me going in a straight line in this and smiling and going, hey, look at me, you know. Erin Spain from it's erinspain.com, really super great DIY blogger, who you would not know has 3 young boys, you know. But just tireless, amazing energy there. But she videoed me going across the field, said, oh, just get me a shot going through the frame here, you know. And then everyone on Facebook and Instagram were like, where's the zero turn? And I'm like, don't, you know. So I put up another video where I did the zero turn. You know, I went and I turned it right around. But I was speaking with the Troy Built. They are the training reps. What's the word I'm thinking of? They're the guys that know the equipment inside and out, and they train the people at Home Depot. Or at Farm and Fleet or whatever. Rob Sample and Sean Brunger, I just looked up their names here. And they're telling me about this zero turn. It's a 42-inch deck, and it's $2,500. And it's a consumer-level zero turn. But what they said, which I thought was interesting, is that the frame, the steel frame, is solid. And Rob said, on a lot of these consumer-level zero turns, the frame is welded in pieces rather than being one solid piece. And I thought that was just kind of, that was one of those light bulbs where I'm like, so this is where they take the extra time and make it actually a good piece of equipment. And I don't know if everyone realizes this, but when you buy a tractor, it's been built for X number of hours of use. Like, okay, we're going to make a 600-hour tractor. And that's what they set out to do, be it a giant farm tractor or, you know, your yard tractor, you know?
I guess that's the thing. That's the very point that we were just making, which is it's little things like that. Like you look at two lawnmowers next to each other, and this one has, you know, unibody construction where it's all one piece versus this one's been welded together. Well, every one of those welds they put in weakens the structure or has a potential spot where it could break versus a solid unit where it's going to hold up a lot longer. And I think those are the little things that a lot of companies like Troy Built put into their equipment where they don't cut that corner and go, hey, we could make 6 different little pieces and weld them together and it would be cheaper versus making this one unibody construction frame.
Yeah, so I'm going to get a Troy Built log splitter this summer, and we're going to be making a video where we're going to beautify the yard using a log splitter. That was a creative idea I had to come up with. I think I sent Aaron and Aya at the agency about 6 different proposals.
Did they, I guess my question going back to, remember Troy Built had that one unit where it was one motor and then you could get a lawnmower or a pressure washer or.
Yeah, I have it. It's the Flex.
Did they ever come out with the log splitter attachment for that?
Yes, I have a video about it because I have the log splitter. What I want the bigger log splitter because it has a little trailer with a trailer hitch.
Oh, you could pull it with your quad.
Right, because a lot of my buddies basically up here, and we'll talk more about this when we talk about the tractor I just bought. We share equipment, and I really like the Flex log splitter, but it's difficult to get into your car. And none of us own a truck. So I thought, oh, if I have this, I could hook it up to the quad and go way up into the woods and split wood right where you drop the tree, or my buddies could come borrow it because then I can borrow their equipment, you know, that kind of thing. So the flex log splitter is going to stay near the firewood shed, and the new one I'm getting is going to be like the mobile splitting unit. Because around town here, they're cutting trees along all the utility lines.
Sure.
And if the property owner doesn't want the wood, you can go get it.
Yeah, they, I mean, there's, having a log splitter you can take out into the field, there's a lot of times you cut down a tree and there's no way you're going to be able to move the logs, versus if you split it up into chunks, it's very easy to throw into a small trailer and haul it out a little at a time. So
yeah,
having a log unit is pretty key. Yeah.
So I just want to talk real quick about the bloggers that I met there, which I just felt kind of like, wow, these, I'm included with the powerhouses here. Mary from the house that Lars built, which is, they're huge on Pinterest and Facebook and Instagram. They, it's DIY home improvement. I don't know if it's called design, home design, you know, upgrading your home. And then Rochelle Greer, who I've worked with before, she's been on the podcast, from Pith and Vigor. She's a garden designer expert. And now she is also a host on the Home Shopping Network, talking about plants. Hello.
Neat.
Then there's Eric. There's me. Serena from Thrift Diving. She has a YouTube channel where she just takes like a beat up piece of furniture and fixes it up. Right now, I think she's repairing her raised bed garden. Just super energy. Mary as well. I learned a lot from them. Just being, we would have, you know, breakfast, lunch, and dinner together and talk kind of shop, you know. Aaron from the Aaron Spain blog, brilliant. And just, boy, just the Instagram expert, I learned a lot from her. And then Sarah from Ugly Duckling House, who I kind of felt is very much like Garden Fork, just kind of hands-on, hey, let's try this. She was using a backhoe the other day. She just rented one and went out and used it, you know. Wow. So it's called her, she is called Ugly Duckling House. And on Instagram, she's Ugly Ducking DIY. But she has an older home that she's fixing up and documenting it all. And I thought that was pretty cool. So
that's pretty neat.
I'll link to all of them. So stay tuned for a bunch of Instagram posts and Facebook posts, and then a video about improving your yard, the beauty of your yard, with some Troy Built products. And also Home Depot, because Troy Built's now sold at Home Depot. So there'll be a tie, and I'm going to go to Home Depot and buy some stuff there.
That is a pretty eclectic group of individuals you got to hang out with there, especially with all the different, you know, topics that they cover and stuff. So it's a pretty neat group of people you got there.
Well, I hope some of them will come on the podcast. I'll have to email them. But it was good. I've gone on other trips and I'm like, why did I do that? You know? So.
Well, I know you were sending me pictures along the way and different things that were going on. And I was like, well, where are you specifically? And I think I sent you and I said, oh, you should go see the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame or all these different tourist sites. He's like, no, I'm checking out all this cool stuff from Troy Built. So, you know, it's a pretty neat trip.
Well, truth be told, okay, first, this is Eric, who grew up in the Midwest being clueless, but I did not realize Cleveland is on Lake Erie.
Wow.
But then okay. Aya and Aaron hired a tour, you know, those trolley tour, see those trolley buses that drive. We got our own trolley. We didn't have to go on with a ticket with a bunch of people we didn't know. And the guy's name was Jim. And man, does he love Cleveland. He loves Cleveland as much as Aaron from the agency loves Cleveland. And he was great. We just walked. He just talked the whole time and told us all about Cleveland. And we went down to the water. And Cleveland is a big ore and, you know, like iron ore kind of industry, because there are steel mills in Cleveland. These giant ore hauling boats. And one of them they have up on land in a science museum. And I would like to go back and explore that boat, because it is, I think it's 600 feet long.
And just how tall they are. I don't know if people realize, you know, when you look at a ship like that, you don't realize how much of it's underwater and how much of it's above. And when you get it on land and you see how tall those things are, it's ridiculous to think that, you know, people got together and they built this thing first off, and then it figured out that they could make it float. I mean, it's pretty amazing.
Yeah. So it was good. And then, we did go by the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, And we didn't go in, but we went by it, and it was just kind of neat. And it's just a very livable town. We were downtown at a very nice hotel, and I would get up in the morning, and I would, because I can't sit still, so I would go out and walk around. And there were three things that occurred to me while I'm walking around, because I live in Brooklyn during the week, and I'm up at the country in the weekend. No horn honking, no sirens, and no helicopters.
I guess that's a good point. I never thought of it that way.
Well, because I have to close my front windows because of the horn honking sometimes.
See, if you moved to the country, you didn't have to listen to any of that at all.
Yeah. The people there were nice. The food, really good restaurants. A lot of what we call seasonal or farm to table was there. It was just good. Oh, I had a little flashback seeing the iron ore freighter there, back to that Gordon Lightfoot song about the freighter, yes, the Edmund Fitzgerald that went down.
Yeah, and up near Duluth or whatever that was, where it went down up in Lake Superior.
Yeah. There's a documentary on Facebook. That YouTube that I could link to here. It's called Edmund Fitzgerald Documentary 1995. So you can just look that up.
It gave a little bit of background on the guys who were on the ship, but then it also talked about kind of a run through of what the day was like when it all went down.
Yeah, and then it just split in the middle from heavy seas, I think.
The one theory is that it was loaded incorrectly and the load shifted in it, and then that caused the ship to have turbulence, and that's what started the whole downfall of it.
All right. Well, we won't do that. But the I think it's called Lolly the Trolley was the company that did the tour, and it was good. Actually, there's a Instagram story of that. I'll post it in the video feed as well. On Instagram and Facebook. Just a super nice guy. I think he's pretty much retired and just happy to show people Cleveland. So that was a lot of fun. So,
interesting fact about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I know you guys went past it, but you know how it looks like it's a one-story building,
yeah,
overall? It's actually five stories on the inside of it. And when you go in, you're actually going in at like kind of level number two, and then it goes down a number of levels, and you kind of weave through it as you're going. A couple of years ago, we got a chance to go when some people were getting inducted in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and we got to go on the tour and the event and all the festivity stuff. And it was really interesting on the inside, because they even let you see some of the behind the scenes of what it's like to be backstage and what it's like to, you know, be in the shoes of the rock stars as they kind of go through this whole journey that they're on.
Yeah, it was designed by I.M. Pei, who just recently passed away, the architect. And viewed from above, it looks kind of like a record player.
Yep.
Little thing. I remembered that from the tour. So, that was fun. So Erin, she's the big Cleveland booster. We got a little bag of, goodies when we got to the hotel. And was a Cleveland t-shirt was in there and Cleveland mustard. And the mustard's in my fridge right now. I don't have the name in front of me. But I will be featuring Cleveland mustard in some food shows. So
nice. So changing gears for a second.
Yeah.
You send me a text message and a phone call one day and say, hey, what do you know about a John Deere backhoe tractor? And all of a sudden we started this conversation about it. And then you sent me a picture of one and said, look what we got. And I'm like, whoa, okay, let's talk about this. So what did you end up getting?
Because Troy Bilt doesn't make these. I bought a used John Deere 1050 tractor, which is a three-cylinder, 37-horse diesel with a Yanmar engine in it. And it has a backhoe and a front-end loader. But I could not afford one myself. So me and – you always talk about the community tool thing I have with my friends here.
Yep.
Me and two friends who I trust, who I've known for a while, went in – and bought the tractor for all three of us, and we're going to share it.
Have you dug anything up with it yet?
Oh, yeah. So the thing is it's, I mean, even used, an older used tractor is very expensive. So we went in together with it. I'm going to make a video about it. How to buy a used tractor. Cause we've had a little hiccups along the way, and I've learned a lot. So stay tuned for all that. So, But the big one, all three of us needed a tractor for projects, but we couldn't quite rationalize buying one solely because, you know, you'd like, look, I can hire someone to dig this hole, or if I had a backhoe, I could just dig it myself, kind of thing. So it worked out well.
You kind of find things to do too. You're like, oh, well, now that I have this, well, I could put a pond in over here. I could dig this out. Hey, look at that stump. You know, you just find different reasons to use the equipment. But then as you get to use it more and more, you get more and more efficient with it. So that's one trick on the backhoe is when you're using it, you know, it should be like your arm, you know, go down real smooth, scoop up and pick up versus kind of that herky jerky. It just takes some time, but you'll definitely get the hang of it.
Hey, real quick here. I was wondering if you wanted to join the Garden Fork email list. It's Maura Eric. I don't know if you want that or not. But the best way to do that, if you go to the gardenfork.tv site, there are signups all over the place. There should be one on every page. Also, in the show notes for this show, if you're listening to it in the iTunes app or one of the other podcast app, to click on the little, I think you click on the little text thumbnail of the show and the notes will pop up and there's a link in there. Or just go to gardenfork.tv and there should be a sign up there. All right. Thank you.
So we've also been talking in our the Garden Fork back channel about your world and the Bear Paw Resort.
Yes, holy cow. That has been I am now a master plumber. I thought I'd let everybody know that.
Got your license the other day from all the hours you put in?
Jeez, holy cow. You know, one of the things about a property like this is there are so many different moving parts to it and how everything integrates together. It makes it challenging, but at the same time, that challenge is kind of the fun of it, of trying to figure out how to make all this stuff work together. The property itself is, you know, it was originally built. I found a photo actually from 1972 and then come to find out that it originally started back in the 60s as a small camp, and then it's been renovated over the years, and some of the original infrastructure from back in the 60s and 70s is still out there, and you know that, you know, continually needs maintenance or replacement. So that's basically what I've been spending a lot of my time focused on. But now that we're open and up and running, everything is going pretty good.
But you were sweating bullets there for a while.
Full disclosure, there was a couple points where I'm like, wow, the quick story is April 5th, I was in the women's bathroom and the toilet was a little crooked. And I started to move it a little bit, and all of a sudden the tile gave way and the pipe gave way underneath, and it basically, I don't want to say fell in the basement, but fell in the basement. And we went underneath the building and we started looking at everything and seeing where the cast iron pipes had rotted out or the support pieces, you know, because the toilet's probably been leaking for, you know, 10 years under there, and, you know, the structure was kind of giving way. So we decided on April 15th, you know, 25 days to open, we're going to demolish two bathrooms and completely rebuild them from scratch. And it took three guys, about 255 hours of work. We went through all the number of inspections that you need and everything else and all the design work and everything that we had to do, but we completely rebuilt a third of the building. We replaced it with all the same fixtures and everything like that. So it wasn't really an upgrade or a change. It was just, you know, updating everything, but we did it in 16 days. And that was probably the hardest project that I've ever done at the fastest pace I've ever done. You know, there's times at 2 a.m. where I'm kneeling under the building going, why am I under here doing this? And, but it all worked out in the end. We got it done. We passed inspection 3 days before open and we were good to go. But there were some times where I was sweating bullets pretty heavy.
Yeah, it was quite the shakedown cruise, but you're up and running now. And you're also an internet celebrity.
Yeah, no, that's something to get used to. I know that a lot of people, so we did this countdown for the last 170 days. I did little fun videos and clips and kind of the stuff I learned from doing my YouTube channel and stuff, which I basically did for fun. What I came to realize is over the years of, you know, hanging out with you and learning about how you do internet stuff and the other creators out there, plus my own stuff that I created, I kind of culminated all that together to, you know, build a marketing campaign for my own business, and it's doing really well to the point where, you know, we get a lot of visitors. I mean, I'm happy to report that between, you know, June 1st and, you know, Labor Day, I think I have one cabin available. And at the beginning of the season, we started at, you know, 17% occupancy. So the online marketing campaign is working. People are coming to see us and visit. And it's been a little strange because previously, like the Weekend Homestead, nobody really knew where it was, so they couldn't come visit me. Well, now everybody knows where the Bear Paw Resort is, so everybody comes and visits. So it's kind of a surreal thing.
Yeah, I get recognized in airports, and so I can say hello, and then I can quickly leave because I get very awkward after about 3 minutes. So
I'm now in the, you know, I've come to realize I thought I was in the resort business, and in all reality, I'm in the people business. That's what it is you know, having people come, be a good host to them, you know, make sure their needs are met while they're there, make sure their family has a good time and they have good memories, because then they're most likely going to come back, whether it be they're staying in the cabins, campsites, and any of the seasonal sites, or, you know, using the docks or even the bar restaurant. All of those little components all at the same time are, you know, all kind of come together to give a good experience. And I think we're doing it right, because, I mean, people are responding. The restaurant's always full on the weekends, and all of our sites are booked out, and, you know, people are happy to come see the place. So it's, I feel like we're doing the right thing.
Yeah. It's interesting because you and I, when we were talking, you're focused on, oh, I was fixing this plumbing, I was doing this electrical, I got these, you know, this toilet in or whatever. And then the epiphany really is that it's about the people and the infrastructure. It's good that it works, but the people are kind of the bigger picture there.
Well, that's actually probably the biggest point of it is, you know, I'm used to, and people know me from all the years of work and all the different projects that I do and the interactions I do with, you know, Garden Fork and my own blogs and all that stuff. Hey, let's do this project. Hey, let's do that project. And it's always been, I hate to say in a vacuum, but I can work at my own pace. I can bounce around to different projects. There's not a lot of urgencies or emergencies, you know, there was always, you know, we work on the projects at the pace we work on them, and we can get them done. And if it didn't work out, it wasn't a big deal because, you know, I would just fix it the following weekend, versus this where, you know, there's a lot of people depending. If you're renting cabin number 5 and cabin number 5's toilet's not working, that's going to be a problem. So I need to address those. And that's probably the biggest epiphany out of all of it is making sure that you're meeting the needs of the people coming in. And part of that is the infrastructure, but all of that stuff has deadlines now, not just, hey, I can do it at my own pace. So it's been rather interesting to kind of mold to that also, which is a lot different style of how I operate versus, you know, what I usually would do when I vlog or do stuff at the Weekend Homestead property.
Right. You used to call me and you'd be like, oh, we're going to the Twin Cities that have sushi. And that probably hasn't happened in a while, huh?
I still get down to the cities probably once a week for a day or two, but for the most part, everything is driven by, I hate to say it, but what's breaking at the time, not necessarily forward progression. Like, give you an example, and this is hot off the presses, but yesterday I was using the skid steer to fix something on the property, and all of a sudden water started pumping out of the ground. Come to find out there was a water line buried under where we're working, which wasn't marked, and now today I get to do a water line project. So, you know, I had other things planned for the day, but now I'm doing, you know, more plumbing stuff. And that kind of stuff is the stuff that's been really challenging is you plan your day and go, I'm going to get these three things done. And then 1 o'clock rolls around. I'm like, I haven't even started on any of the things that were on my list because I'm fixing all these other things. So,
oops.
That's right. I'm learning a lot though. I'll tell you that when you get, you learn a lot about your, what you can do and what you can't do by putting yourself under the pressure. And, you know, that's what we did with this thing. And so far, it seems to be working out really, really well.
I mean, that's great. I mean, you're essentially building equity, you know, doing all this.
Yes, yes. Well, that's the thing too. Is, I mean, I kind of questioned to myself. You know, we did inspections back in October, and really understood where the property stood at that point. And I knew what I was getting into. I full disclosure, I knew that there was issues. I knew that things were broken. I knew that, you know, everybody has different styles. Like, to talk about plumbing for a second, there were some spots where I had iron pipe that went to copper, that went to PVC, that ended up at PEX at the fittings, because over the last 40 years, depending on what was available to fix, all this stuff was cobbled together. And then you have a situation where all these different DIY people over all the years that have come to the property have helped fix things. But unfortunately, because of that way everything's been convoluted together over the years, when you put pressure on a system like that, it tends to break down. And that's what's happening is we're very successful at getting people to come to the property, which is really cool. But at the same point in time, it's putting a lot of stress on the infrastructure, which then causes it to break. So we are in firefighter mode more than, you know, forward fixing mode. So that's kind of the biggest challenge that I probably underestimated is once you put weight on a system that's been around for 40 or 50 years, things are going to break, and they're going to break at a rapid rate.
Yes. Wow. So I have one more piece of good news, and I will let everyone go to work.
Perfect. What's that?
We have 3 new iTunes reviews for our podcast.
Let's hear them.
The first is from Sandman 1903. A must for the do-it-yourselfers hiding in all of us. 5 stars. If you can, fine. If you can't, you need to listen to Eric on Garden Fork. He brings us inspiration from his own experience and his fine guests every week. Fine, except maybe this week's guest. Also, check out his YouTube channel, Garden Fork. That was very nice. You are a fine guest. Well, you're really kind of more than a guest. The only reason we're having this podcast is because Will called me and said, we need to do a podcast.
Actually, let's correct that for a second. You actually sent me a text and said, hey, I haven't heard from you in like 2 weeks. Are you okay? And so you're a good friend in checking up on me to make sure that I'm not laying under a building crying and something like that. So.
I have been under a building crying before.
I was almost there. Full disclosure. I was almost there at 2 in the morning.
Go ahead.
At 2 in the morning, I've got, you know, poop and broken pipes and rusted stuff, and it wasn't fitting together. And I had glued a PVC pipe together, and it didn't set right, and it was off by like a quarter inch. So I had to take the whole thing apart and do it again. And it was like 2 in the morning, and I was so done. And I'm just like, I don't want to do this anymore. But we got it done.
Yeah, I cut open a water main in a rental building, and then in the basement, and I couldn't get it soldered back closed because there was water dripping from somewhere upstairs. And this lady comes down and starts yelling at me because she has a beauty parlor on the second floor. And it's like, but that Sandman, thank you very much for that. The next one, eclectic, educational, and fun. 5 stars from Airedale Mike. Mike, did you send me some pictures of your dogs hanging out with you? I think you did. What a great find for a DIY person like myself. Along with Eric's YouTube channel, this man has me trying a host of projects from baking bread to transferring images to wood. Yay! I tune in daily as I walk my dog, searching for the inspiration to try something new. Airedale, man. Yeah, I love that. You know, try this and see what happens, right? Deep dive on being handy. 5 stars from Bill West. I grew up as a kid fascinated with the Foxfire books. Oh, and Eric's homespun advice and how-tos reminds me a lot of those books. YouTube channel is also a must. Great info and fun to listen to. Interesting Garden Fork tidbit here. My wife went to Raven Gap, which is where the Foxfire books were written.
Really?
I'm pretty sure. I'll double check that. But yeah, the Foxfire books, I would read them in the library. Yeah, I love the library anyway. So, oh, now I want to go look at those books again.
That's pretty interesting.
Neat.
Huh.
Wow, thank you. Thank you, Sandman, Airedale Mike, and Bill West. That really helps because when we have new reviews, Garden Fork gets surfaced higher in the search results in that. I actually typed in DIY in the iTunes search the other day for podcasts, and Garden Fork, it wasn't the top one. There's all these like super successful, but I don't know, like 10 down or so was Garden Fork, so that was good. So
very nice, very
there
nice.
There you go. So Will can be found at the Bear Paw Resort in northern Wisconsin.
See him. I'll be there till September.
And YouTube channel is The Weekend Homestead. Also on Instagram, very active on Instagram and Facebook. That's good.
I will say this about our Facebook page for the Bear Paw Resort. We're getting 15,000 hits a week on that, which for a small town, you know, resort in the middle of Wisconsin, nowhere, I am shocked that we're getting the traffic that we're getting. It's almost like people are watching the reality show as it unfolds. Because we do a little bit of promotional stuff, but I do a lot of stuff like we're about to kick off the largest construction project we've ever done, and I started posting some of the teaser photos from it, and we've had some awesome response for it. So it's pretty amazing.
It just shows you how you don't need to spend money. It takes some time and some creativity, And, you know, you can get your name out there. So, I mean, that's the good part of the internet. So yay for you.
Yeah. That if you want to get people to buy into your brand, and here's a quick social media marketing thing, do a countdown, because the closer you get to the countdown, the more people will want to see what happens. So we did, you know, the 100-day countdown to grand opening. And as we got closer, more and more people got invested in the, well, I watched the last 10. Now let's keep watching and seeing what happens. Does he make it to the countdown or not, or whatever? And yeah, it was amazing how many people were supporting us towards the end and cheering us on to get across the finish line to get the place open.
Your own version of Game of Thrones.
I have never even seen that show.
Neither have I. You and I are the only two.
I guess so. I mean, I'm sorry everybody was disappointed about the dragon show or whatever it was.
Or the coffee cup.
Yeah, I don't know anything about it. I don't get it.
All right, everyone. Thank you for your time here. Thank you for taking a minute and downloading the show. And if you go to iTunes and write a review, that'd be really cool. So go make it a great day. Go do cool stuff. And then please email us about it. It's radio@gardenfork.tv. radio@gardenfork.tv. Thank you, Will.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
Garden Fork's theme music is used under license from uniquetracks.com.